thank you very much for coming and for being interested in the subject of evangelism. And as Pastor Ward mentioned, it is indeed a good way to follow up on our talks that we had about worldview. So that's what we're going to do, is we're going to focus for the next 6 weeks on the subject of evangelism. And it's entitled Evangelism for All, which means every one of us can be a proclaimer or a witness for Christ in some way. Before we proceed, let me make sure that everybody has a handout. If you, Blake has them there. If you need one, again, I know Pastor Anderson asked, but we need one over here. Okay, very good. All right. So today is the focus is two things. Is number one is we're going to talk for a little bit about obstacles to evangelism, and then we're going to shift to the centrality of Christ, the beauty of who Christ is. So that's just to give you a preview. And I'll, in a little bit here, I'll give you an idea of what we're going to do in weeks subsequent, so you have a sense of that. But I want to thank the ambassador class for being here. I understand they're here, as well as the junior high class. Our ambassador class is the teen group, and it's great that they're here as well. So we have a good range of ages here, and we want to try to speak in a way that includes all of them and is helpful to all of them. So let's begin on the first page here, and I want to just mention the six-week goal, is to nurture a culture of evangelism for all. Now, you know, Trinity, I think we're really good at the come and see. We had Fun Day, and that was a good success. And we had our VBS, that was great. And we do other things throughout the year, you know, the basketball out ministry. And we've done things like soccer and art camp and a variety of things. Those are great. We can increase our efforts, and we can invigorate our interest in the go and tell. So the come and see is we prepare an event for here, and it's something that's obviously fun, something that engages people, and then we invite folks, and they come, and that's great. But in the community, we can do more individually and as groups to go out, and we're not focusing in on any one particular method. Like, for example, you know, when I was a teenager in coming up in church, door-to-door visitation, we called it. That was a big deal, big part of our routine during the week. And, you know, for a variety of reasons, that can be effective to some degree, and there's some obstacles and difficulty in other ways. But the Lord has given every single one of us opportunity to cross paths with people that we don't know throughout the week, people that we do know, people that we work with, people that family members that we're concerned about that are lost. So how do we engage those people for the sake of the gospel? That is just, even here in Greenville, you know, they call this the Bible Belt, right? This area here, but there's a mission field right outside our doors, isn't there? So we want to do what we can to encourage one another and to reinvigorate our focus to go and tell the gospel, not just in foreign lands, which is wonderful, but also right here in this county. Now, along that line, let's look at a couple of Bible verses. So I'm going to have some of you read verses for me. So I need somebody to volunteer to read verse. It's John chapter 1, verse 39. So is there someone who would be willing to do that for us? Where? Okay, Rick will take that one. And then how about John 20, 17? And, you know, the young people, you guys are welcome to volunteer to participate here as well. Who's good for John? All right, Jenna. And then Matthew 28, 18 and 19. And John, did I see your hand there? You want to do that one? Matthew, so you do the Matthew 28 passage. All right, so Rick, go ahead.
He said to them, being Jesus, come and you will see. And they came and saw where he was staying. And they stayed with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour.
Okay, so that is an example of, is that an example of come and see or go and tell? And anybody, you can just, we don't need the mic to answer that. What does that sound like to you? Okay, excellent. Very good. All right, Don's going to get his exercise today, so go ahead with the verse. The next one.
Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God."
Okay, before you hand the mic back, Jen, I got a question for you. Who is speaking in that? Can you tell, just kind of, sir, I'll give you a chance to kind of glance at the context there. Who are the speakers are in that?
It says Jesus said to her. So Jesus, one of them.
Okay, so Jesus is talking, and then who is he talking to? Is it
Mary Magdalene.
Okay. All right, good. Very good. Now, that is very wonderful, because Jesus is encouraging her to do something, and that something, is that a, from what you heard, is that a come and see, or is that a go and tell? Yeah, go and tell, right? It's obvious enough. It's in the verse, right? Okay, good. All right, and then we're over here to Brother John with Matthew 28.
And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age."
Okay, wonderful passage. Those are the marching orders of the church. Wonderful. Thank you, John. All right, so pretty obvious, but I'm going to ask you anyway. Is that come and see, or is that go and tell? All right, it's unanimous. It's go and tell, right? All right, and you know what's interesting is when Jesus said that, there really wasn't a place necessarily for them, unless you would say the temple, but that really wasn't what Christianity was about. There really wasn't a way to enact a come and see, right? Because Jesus Jesus said this on earth, but in a few days he was going to ascend. So he was in heaven. He is in heaven. And so the come and see really was not in play at this point, right? So the go and tell from the very early on was so important for the gospel to get out. And that is what we desire to do more of, and to encourage one another in here at Trinity is to do more of the go and tell. All right. Now, let's shift to the question of motivation. We, in line with the title of this week's lesson, obstacles to evangelism. Now, imagine we could come up with a whole list of them. And I'm not going to take time to list all of them that come to mind. But let's do this. If you can think of at least one obstacle that you've had or that you've observed in evangelism, raise your hand. Okay? Are you aware of how, just keep your hands up so we can kind of all get a sense of it. All right, so just, you know, just about everybody here aware that there are obstacles in evangelism. Now, this is a way to illustrate the point that we don't want to focus. Obstacles are important, but they're not the main focus, and I'll explain why. So you're probably looking at that black box there. What do you think is the point of having that black box there and then encouraging you to write the obstacles in the box? What's that? Okay. Okay. All right. The simple point that I'm making there is that, and I agree with both of those comments, is that let's not focus on the negative, let's focus on the positive. And if you write the obstacle, yes, John is right, you write it in there, you can't see it, because there's something more beautiful to see, and that is Christ. I think that if we, and I found this in my own opportunities in witnessing and sharing the gospel, that when I'm focusing on Christ, that the obstacles just seem to melt away. Okay. Now, I'm not convinced that I'm more persuasive it one way or the other, that I get better results one way or the other. But I feel so much more joyful about sharing the gospel when my focus is on Christ and just enthralled with who He is. Okay? So you skip down there to the line below that. And in fact, could I have volunteer to read? Somebody that's near where Don is, so he doesn't have to walk too far. That would be willing to read those two lines that are right below the black box. All right, Jim, Brother Jim's right here. He said he'll read that for us.
Yeah. Then they said one to another, "We are not well. This day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. If we tarry till morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore come, that we may go and tell the king's household."
Okay, so that was good. Jim read the verse there, 2 Kings 7:9. Okay, so thank you for that. And I'll come back to that. So keep that in mind. You heard that. That's really good. Now, the line there that says guilt, and it's crossed out, versus grace, it's good news. It's really good news. And then the passage that Brother Jim just read, 2 Kings 7:9. We'll get back to that in a second. So much better it is to be motivated by grace and its joys. It's it's deeper. God's grace is deeper than in the ocean. God's grace is it's infinite. God's grace goes farther than we could see, and all of the joys that we have in Christ. And all of the joys that we have because we are in fellowship with one another because of Christ. Those joys are incalculable. And that is the ultimate motivation. Now, I'll tell you, I'll just confess that, you know, when I was growing up, when we talked about evangelism, some of the things that were said to me, to us, were in the category of guilt, trying to motivate us to get out and do evangelism, and it was in that category. Now, certainly, in the Scripture, we have the law of God. There's no question about that. We can't set that aside and as if God's law is not in play. It is, most definitely. But what we have in Jesus Christ is good news. So, what Brother Jim just read there in 2 Kings 7:9. In fact, you know, maybe we should all turn there. How about if we all turn to 2 Kings 7:9? It's a passage you may not be familiar with, so I'll just give you a little bit of a synopsis of what's going on there. In 2 Kings 7 is it's called a siege is happening there, and the enemies of Israel have come, and they have put a siege on the city. And I believe it's the Syrians. If, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, if you're there and you see that it's somebody else. I think it's the Syrians that have come against Israel. Is that right? Okay, good. And their army's bigger, they're stronger, they're mightier. Just overwhelmed. The city is overwhelmed by that. And to make things interesting, there are these lepers who are outside the city So picture over here, on the right-hand side, you have the Israelites in their own city. And there's a wall around it. Okay? But the lepers are outside the wall. Why are the lepers outside the wall? Of their own home. What's that? Yeah, they're unclean. So there's a variety of reasons. Ceremonial unclean, and then there was health issues related to that. It was, and the Torah had requirements related to that. So here are these lepers outside. Okay. And so they somehow end up in outside the camp of the Syrians, and they find that it's been abandoned. The army just left, and you know, apparently fire is still going, and our fires are still going, and the tents are still there. So imagine that these guys think, man, we've struck gold. You know, they got all this stuff here and food, and the city over here has, because they have been under siege, the people have not had access to food. So what is it that happened? Now you've finished the story. I think you know what the rest is. So what happens next? And how does... There's something that happens inside the hearts of these lepers that changes their perspective on the treasure that they have happened upon. And what is that? There's someone here that wants to finish out the rest. All right, Beth over there is going to tell us the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey used to say.
They decide they're not going to be selfish, and they realize that they need to tell this good news to everybody.
Yeah, and that's exactly what they did. That's exactly what they did. Right? So they were motivated by good news, and that is indeed the same position that we are in. Okay? All right, so get through some of my slides here. We're going to move now down to the subject of methods. Our motive is joy in Christ. Our method is joy in Christ. So let's read the questions here. Which method? Well, there's a whole variety of methods. I'm not going to read them all. And I'm sure if you've been a Christian for a while, you're aware of many different ways of doing evangelism. But my focus today is not on one particular method, but is to encourage us to do this one thing. And while I'm talking about that, is there a volunteer to read 2 Corinthians 4, 14 through 17? Do I have a volunteer for that? 2 Corinthians, one of our young people. We have ambassadors, the teens. And if you guys want to read a verse for us, 2 Corinthians 4. All right, John, I'll do it. And I'll cue you up here in a second.
Okay.
All right, so here's the question for it. How about inviting others into your joy? Look at evangelism through that lens. As, in other words, you're not trying necessarily to persuade anybody, because really it's not up to me or you to persuade. It's up to the Holy Spirit to persuade. So, and it's not really about winning a debate or an argument. How about if I just look at evangelism as having this fountain of joy within me, and I just the fountain bubbles over. Okay? So, John, read 2 Corinthians 4, please.
Knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sake, so that the grace which is spreading to more and more people may cause the giving of thanks to abound to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison.
All right. That sounds exciting, right? Aroma. You ever walk into a kitchen and you can smell fresh Or you walk into the house and you can smell. You know, there's sometimes when my wife is cooking a particular dish that I like, I can, as soon as I get out of the car, I pull in the drive because the windows may be open or maybe she's barbecuing something. And this is great. This is great to be here on this place and nowhere else in the planet to partake of barbecue, whatever it is. She has a delicious meatball recipe that I love. In fact, you know what I told her? I said to her, I came home one time and I said, "Oh, I didn't know you were going to do meatballs today." I said, "Why didn't you tell me this morning so I could be looking forward to it all day?" And so she does that. Not always, but does she? She'll say, "We're having spicy meatballs tonight, so now you have something to look forward to." And I do, and I look forward to it. But see, this is really what it's like to be a Christian, is to be so filled up with the joy of Christ, so filled up with the joy that my place is secure in heaven, so filled up with the joy that I have a community of people that are like-minded in desire for Christ, so filled up with the joy that my sins are completely forgiven. Isn't that amazing? However long you're going to live beyond this day, those sins are covered too. It's not just up to here and then you got to work beyond that. No, the slate is clean. That is exciting. And we can go into the world with that kind of joy. Christ is our joy, and that is the focus of these of the next section there, or the next part of the methods. The main thing is Christ, and we're going to continue talking about that in a moment. But I'm going to stop for a minute now and just engage you in questions, or see if you have any thoughts or questions, or maybe you want to express publicly, and that is great if you do it. I'm not opposed to it at all. You just want to say, you know, I rejoice in my salvation. If you have a thought like that that's in your heart right at this minute, and you just want to publicly express, the Bible says that we should praise the Lord publicly. You want to publicly express your joy at being in Christ. Then here, you know, we're just take a little break before we continue on. And I think we got, we got Veronica over there. Anybody else that wants to just express something that is a little nugget of the joy that you have because you are in Christ? And we'll kind of line them up here. Anybody else? Okay, Veronica, go ahead and we'll just...
I am so grateful that Christ is my righteousness, that He is the perfect sacrifice, and not only as if I don't stand before God only as if I had never sinned because of Christ, but I stand before Him as though I have always obeyed because He always obeyed.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Wonderful. Okay, anybody else over here on this side? Well, Don has the mic that wants to express something simple like that about your joy in Christ. Anybody? Anybody have joy? Christ? Okay. All right, John's... Sure, that's... Go right ahead.
I became a Christian when I was 12 years old, and now I'm 72. So I've been walking with the Lord a long time. And just thinking of the political situation we're in today and all the mess going on in society, it's such a narcissistic society we live in. It's such a peaceful thing to know that my future is secure because of what happened as a 12-year-old boy, not knowing anything except that I was a sinner. And now as you walk with the Lord, you're just filled with joy thinking no matter what happens financially, health-wise, political, safe in the arms of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. All right, anybody else? Real quick. All right, back here we have Donna and maybe one or two more.
We're supposed to be encouraging one another in Christ, and one of the things that encourages me to want to share the gospel is when other people share their road to salvation. Like when we have testimonies, when people join the church, that's always a great encouragement. And then yesterday at Ladies Missionary Fellowship, LMF, did I get that right? Lindsay shared the salvation road that one of her students, Stephen, walked. And it was such an encouragement to me. And I think we need to do that more. We need to share how we were saved. And that's something else. People say, I was a bus kid and I got saved. I got saved in DVBS. Ort's parents were saved with a door-to-door evangelist.
Amen.
Husbands.
Amen to that.
There's so many different ways.
Sure.
And that's just a huge encouragement to me to be brave through Christ and share the gospel and take advantage of the opportunities that come.
Amen. Thank you very much. All right, anybody else real quick that wants to share your joy in Christ? Why do you have joy in Christ? Why do you have joy in Christ? Do you have joy in Christ? Okay. Well, I guess we need to work on that, huh? Anybody else? All right. We're going to shift now to talking about mission. And in fact, you know, before I do it, this will fit in. I'm going to come back to what those slides that you just see right there. All right, I'm just going to give you a real quick rundown of these five things, and we'll talk about these next week. But I just wanted to have heads up there on page number 2. Christ, these are five key practices that I'm suggesting are important for being active in the mission of evangelism. And this includes young people, you know, our teens, junior high, senior high, college, whomever, young marrieds, young adults, everybody. We can all be a part of this. The first thing is to have that Christ is the center kind of thinking, which is what we've just been talking about, okay? A prayer list. I think having a prayer list for specific people that you are interacting with or that you have encountered is very helpful. That's been helpful to me is to keep, in fact, I have a little book that I keep a list of some names of folks that I pray for, that I hope the Lord will continue to use me to reach out to them. And then small groups that are focused in particular on evangelism. That may be something that we don't do that now, but maybe that is something that the Lord will allow us to do going forward. We'll talk a little bit more, like I said, about that next week. And then memory work. You know, what if you had a battery of, say, 10 or 11 or 12 verses that were just good go-to verses that speak of the beauty of who Christ is? And that you memorized them, and you shared them with others. You kind of, you know, maybe check your memory work with somebody else here at Trinity, and those verses would just be, like as it were, just they're in your hard drive, and you can pull them out, your mental hard drive, and pull them out at any time to be able to just give that verse to somebody that you have an opportunity to share. Just even if it's just a snippet of the gospel to them. You may be in a hurry and you just share the verse with them. You're planting a seed, the Word of God, with that person. So here's an example, Romans 10:17. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of Christ. It's true. It's true. All right, next thing is, the fifth thing is, to learn short, and I'm calling them short. You've heard of short and sweet, right? But I'm calling these short and sticky answers to objections or questions that you hear to the gospel. There's always a risk, don't you think, that the more, I'll use myself as an example. If I'm talking to somebody, the more that I say, there's a greater risk that they won't get the one important thing that I'm trying or should be trying to communicate to them, right? So if I talk for 10 minutes, are you likely to remember what I said versus if I say something in a one sentence or two sentences that is memorable and it sticks with you? I think the second option is better. Let me illustrate that. There's a gentleman here at Trinity that actually helped me understand this. I'm not going to name him because I don't want to embarrass him, but he's a gentleman here who does love to share the gospel. And he told a couple of us in a conversation about this situation. And the individual he was talking to, I think, if I remember correctly, was a Christian or is a Christian, but is struggling with various answers. But it illustrates the point. So the gentleman from Trinity was in conversation with this other fellow from work. And the other fellow was having a hard time with the idea that the Bible, the Word of God that you have in front of you, is still the same book that it's, you know, the idea is that it changed maybe it's thousands of years and it's changed. You know, like Chinese whispers, or remember, I think we called it whisper down the lane, you know, like Dave says something to his wife and then just each person down the row until you go down, you know, 20 people later, and that little message, it could be totally different, totally changed by the time it gets down, whisper down the lane is what we used to call it. Well, this is what the gentleman from Trinity said. He said, knowing that the other fella understood the doctrine of creation, at least in part, he said, "Now, don't you think that if God could make the world and speak the world, the entire universe, into existence, that he couldn't also preserve his own written word for as long as he wanted?" End of sentence. Okay. Now that wasn't a long. You could get into a long explanation about that very issue. Now here's the thing. This fellow at work, one year later, came back to the gentleman from Trinity and said, just as if the way I understand the story, as if again out of the blue, said, "You know, I think you're right. God can preserve his word. If he can make the universe, he can preserve his word." Now, the takeaway there is, number one, the gentleman from Trinity said it short and sticky in a memorable way, and the guy did remember it, and he came back a year later with that thought on his mind. Okay? Now, we can't do every possibility that comes over the next 6 weeks, but we're going to talk about stuff like that. We're going to talk about ways of answering objections or questions that you get. Okay. And in fact, in Blake, where are you? Okay, come on up here, Blake. Blake is going to help me illustrate this. In fact, okay, here's a cartoon. Musicians and the guy who's the producer says, "Okay, that was good the first time." I can't read all the print, but he lists off that was good, but now this time can you do it? And he lists off like 10 things that he wants them to change. It's just overwhelmed with information, and I think we can overwhelm people with information when we are witnessing, and there are times when we should learn these short and sticky answers. Okay? So, we have something called Blake versus Blake, and there's video that's supposed to go with this, and we're still working out the details, so we're going to do a little bit of live here. This won't be Blake versus Blake, but it'll be more like I don't know if it's, we're not fighting. We're not fighting. And maybe it'll work next week. But the idea in this Blake versus Blake is what we had prepared on the screen, and it's not working, is Blake asking a question or an objection, and then Blake giving the answer in a short and sticky way. Okay? So, let's just illustrate that briefly.
I'm an atheist, and I do not believe in God. Why should I believe in God?
All right, so let me step out of character. There's several ways that I could try to answer this question. I could try to get into intelligent design. I could try to talk about monotheism. I could talk about evidences for God. Okay? Or I could do this. I could say, Blake, that is a good question, and I understand why it is that you believe that, but what you need and who you need is Christ. You need Christ. Ultimately, you are answerable to Him. Christ made you, and one day you will come face to face with Him. Okay? Now, is that going to persuade him in the moment? No, but it's going to bring the conversation to the person that he needs. He doesn't need an argument. He doesn't need a debate. He needs to be brought to Christ. Okay, and that's one illustration, and we'll switch to a different one in a second. But see, this is where I started out, is ultimately, how is it that somebody gets into the kingdom of God? It's not through argumentation. It is by believing in Jesus Christ. And my joy in who Christ is can be just as persuasive as it can be. God can use it as a persuasion point as well as the gospel itself. Okay? Okay, next one.
I'm a Muslim, and I know Christians believe in the Trinity, but I don't believe that there is a triune God. I don't believe in the Trinity.
Okay, well, Blake, I understand that's your point of view, but I want you to know that Jesus created Muhammad. Jesus created Muhammad, and that one day you are answerable to Jesus. In fact, you should know, Blake, the Muslim, that the Quran actually names Jesus many more times than it does Muhammad. So I want to invite you to look into the Gospels. Maybe we could sit down together and look at the Gospel of Mark together, because your own book, the Quran, tells you to read the Gospels. So, I understand you don't believe in the Trinity right now, but your own book compels you to look to Christ. Okay? All right, so that's another example. We'll just do a third one because of time. So you had a third one that you were prepared for.
Science tells us that the universe was created, came out of nothing in millions and billions of years, but yet Christians say that it was created and it's only 4,000 years old, and other Christians say 6,000 years, and other Christians say 10,000 years. So why should I believe what the Christians say when they can't even agree on what they believe? Science proves that it's billions of years.
Okay, that is a good question, and it's certainly something that matters, the age of the earth, when creation happened. But ultimately, Blake, you are accountable to Christ. And you know what's very interesting is in the book of John, first chapter, it does say that Jesus, that Christ, the Word, made everything. But even the Apostle John does not abide long, if at all, on the question of the age of the earth. And a few verses later, he comes and he says, the same Lord that made the earth came to save it. And, you know, we can talk about the age of the earth at some point, but ultimately what determines your destiny is what you do with Christ. Okay? Thank you.